Thank you. to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a delight to see those of you who are present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Our volunteers for Food Pantry tomorrow are Shirley Gorman and Linda Morgan. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will have Bible study right here. Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., we have youth group. And Tuesday at 2 p.m., we should be having bell choir practice over at the UCC so that our bell choir will be blessing them with music as well. You will shortly be receiving these little slips. These are for All Saints Sunday, which is November the 6th. On that day, we will remember our deceased loved ones who are now part of the Church Triumphant. I know the people from this congregation who have died in the last year. What I'm going to ask for on this slip of paper is in the first section that you let us know your friends, relatives, neighbors who have died since last November, since last All Saints Day, in the first section. In the second section, anyone that you'd like to remember who has died, regardless of how long it's been. Okay, so two separate sections because we're going to be ringing the bells for each of those two sections. If you have any questions, please let me know. We're going to need that in advance of All Saints Sunday so that I will have a list and we'll be able to read it. And today we do have our bell choir with us. Our bell choir members are Erica Rinker, Marty Warren, Mona Pearson, Marcia Goddard, Leslie Pearson, Bev Kennick, Bev Chapman, Michelle Lofgren, and Lynette Durant. And today they will be playing To the Hills I Lift My Eyes. It is a meditation on our psalm of today, Psalm 121. And after they play, we will hear a history of the bell choir from Colleen Payne. So please, listen to the bell choir with To the Hills I Lift My Eyes. I'm going to invite you to come forward with one of the bell buckets and tell a little bit about why we are collecting money and the history of our bell choir.
This will be placed back on the table if you wish to contribute, and it goes into a special fund, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And we are soliciting now for people to be a part of the bell choir to enhance all of the things that we have going on. As you have read in the paper, I hope, in our monthly newsletter, we have been working for 20 years. And it's amazing what we have done and the influence that we have in our community. Everybody loves to come to the Vesper service because of the bells. I've heard this many, many times. I go to Vesper service to hear the bells. but of course, you know, there are other people who participate. But anyway, 20 years ago, Pastor John Horwick and I, both being new to the church, wanted to do something special here, and so we decided to form a bell choir, which we did. And we solicited from members for them to buy an individual bell. So the cheapest, as I recall, was $129 for the small little bell that Beth, would you hold up one of those little bells? That was $129.
That's what I paid.
Connie bought one of those. And then the more expensive one, if I remember right, it was up into the $400, and that's the big ones. So we started out with two octaves, and then we added, we of course had to have tables, we had to have cloth on the table, we had to have music, we had to have lights, we had to have, created vests, but we no longer wear the vests, they're outdated.
We still have them.
Maybe some new seamstresses get some new ones. But anyway, we started 20 years ago, and we've added to, we started with two octaves, and they're right in the center, and then we added another octave here and another octave here. Then we added the children's octave, which is kind of like a playing set, and then we added the chimes. So we have grown lots in those 20 years. And I've got lots more to tell you, but I won't take any more time because sermon is more interesting than I am. So thank you for your contribution. Please, if we have people who can play, we need more players. We saw today, I think we only had 6 players. I'm retired. I don't play only on occasion. We need a director. We need a children's choir. We need a children's director, director for the children's choir. So we do need your help. So we thank you for all your contributions, what you've done in the past. Thank you for
what
all your
contributions for now.
It's to go for, we're going to retune the bells and update them, and it takes money to ship them. Is that right, Michelle?
Well, it's for the maintenance and the tuning bell.
The bells are supposed to be maintained or refurbished every 7 to 10 years, and it's been 20. So we've looked into how to accomplish that, and there are a couple of ways. We can send them to Texas, which would cost quite a bit, $3,000 some. But we found a place in Custer, South Dakota, a woman who does this regularly for the bell players in the area. She also, these are turmeric bells, and she worked for that company. So her cost for 3 octaves of bells is $13.85, and then we can take them over there. She said it would take a week, and then we can come over.
So we can hand deliver these.
We hand deliver them, and we can do that. I mean, it's just
when I looked at this 10 years ago, we were looking into shipping costs, and it was just absorbent just to ship them to Chicago to get them ready.
It doubles the cost,
yes.
Yes, that was the situation that we had in Aberdeen, South Dakota, when we sent out our bells. The shipping cost more than the tuning did.
Yes.
So every 8 to 10 years or so, the bells should be serviced. It's been 20 years. So what we're collecting for right now is to get money toward this maintenance cost that you've heard about, and then to establish a fund so that in about 8 years when we need to do this again, we will have the money already in reserve. I know that there's some money that we have already, some of it for memorials, but every time that you see the bells this year, you'll be seeing one of the bell buckets, and everywhere they go, you'll be seeing bell buckets, because think about it, how wonderful a ministry this is. Especially now that the bells are able to go back out into the community. So they will be over at Union Congregational. There is talk about coming with me to Amy Holt on those third Sundays when I'm over there, or another time going over to Agape, to the Veterans Home, to other places.
We've been so
just
reaching
what a blessing
out into the community up until just recent. So we really need to grow our choir again. So any help that you can give, either emotionally, physically, monetarily, thank you.
Thank you so much, Colleen. Thank you so much, Bev. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It is number 774. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. The canticle of praise is found on page 169.
Thank you.
us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all the suffering, Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 32nd chapter of Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to them, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which means face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let's read Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will it be one who catches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over you all night, and in the morning, from this time forth forevermore.
The second reading is from the third and fourth chapters of 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known and But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known and known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God, and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will come quickly to grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have anyone who wants to come forward for a children's chat? I like that a lot.
Because when I look up at the mountains, I think about camping and hiking and the beauty up there, but somehow the mountains also make me think about God. Do they do that for you? Why do they do that for you? They seem peaceful.
They're harmless, so they know God made them.
Yeah. So. How about the rest of you? What are your feelings about mountains? Do you like mountains? Or are you more beach people? If you're beach people, you are living in the wrong state.
The beauty
of them. And there's something, when I'm high up in the mountains, for some reason I just feel closer to God.
They're majestic.
They are majestic. Even the mountains of my childhood, which are rolling hills of Blue Ridge, are still majestic. And sometimes I squint as I look out my window and I pretend that the Bighorns are really the Blue Ridge. You have to squint, but, you know, you can pretend. And I had someone say, well, they do look a little like, you know, the Blue Ridge, but they don't have as many trees. Yeah, I'll go with that. So here, he's saying, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, and does my strength come from the mountains? And he says, no, my strength doesn't come from the mountains. As high as they are, as majestic as they are, as beautiful as they are, that is not where I really get my strength. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains and me and you. And that's where our strength comes from, is our God, who's made everything and is even more majestic and more wonderful than the things that have been made. So let us pray. We thank you, our good and gracious God, for the gift of mountains, for being able to live in such a beautiful place where we see the mountains every day. Help us to be reminded that you are the one who created them. You are the one who created all things. You are the one who created us. And you care for us. And you protect and guard us. And we give you thanks and praise, O Lord. Amen. Thank you for being with me.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. What does it mean to not lose heart? It means to persevere, to not fall into despondency, to not give up, to endure until the end. Jesus tells them about a widow among the most disenfranchised members of society who appeals to a judge to grant her justice against those who have wronged her. The judge admits that he has no fear of God and no respect for people. The woman comes day after day after day, tirelessly pleading her case to the point where the judge states that he will grant her justice so that she will not wear him out or do him harm. Jesus says that unlike this unjust judge, God will quickly answer the petitions of those who cry out. But this statement seems to contradict our lived experience. What about those times when we pray and God does not answer our prayers? What about those times when God seems to be ignoring our heartfelt pleas? Is prayer supposed to wear down God until God gives us what we want, the way a young child will sometimes wear down a parent until the parent gives in to the child's requests? What is this parable supposed to teach us about faith, about God? Let me tell you the story of a man who persisted in prayer. In his youth, he relied upon his physical strength. He had a powerful physique, developed while playing football and wrestling in high school. In college, where he continued to play football, he developed a passion for boxing, a sport in which he excelled. He won the 1985 Golden Gloves heavyweight title for the state of Montana and was runner-up the following year when he graduated from college with a degree in English literature and writing. He planned to become a prize fighter, but his career was cut short after an injury led to major reconstructive jaw surgery. He said in an interview, "All my teeth are false. They had to remove a large portion of my upper jaw and put in a bridge. I tried to fight one more time after that, and it just wasn't the same. So I had to give that up." That dream ended. He moved to Los Angeles with the thought that he would become a movie star. Doesn't everyone move to Los Angeles with the thought that they will become a movie star? He made a few commercials and had some bit parts in movies, but he eventually became disillusioned by the film industry. In order to pay the bills, he found some jobs in comedy clubs and bars, eventually taking a position with a museum in Pasadena. He told an interviewer, "I lived a very fast life. I was involved in troublemaking. I used to get in street fights a lot. I was very involved in, I used to drink, and I had a lot of problems. I had several accidents, both on my motorcycle and in cars. I had some falls. I hurt myself fighting." One night as he was riding his motorcycle home, he was hit by a car, thrown off his bike, and then run over by another car. The injuries were so severe that the hospital staff thought that he would die that night. This close brush with death was a turning point in his life. The accident prompted him to explore religion more closely. He decided to become baptized and confirmed in order to marry the woman that he loved. And so he spent more than a year preparing for baptism. Not because he had any interest in God, but because he figured this was the way to win the woman. Instead of leading to marriage, baptism sent him in an entirely unexpected direction. He said, "When I was baptized, at the very moment the priest was pouring water over my head, I didn't hear the voice of God or see a big banner come down from the sky or anything. I just knew that I was going to be a priest." He added, "I didn't want to be a priest. I wanted to get married. I didn't really know what a priest did." This decision came as a shock to his parents, to his friends, to his girlfriend. There was nothing in his background that indicated any strong religious convictions that would support such a call. He tried to test the call by teaching for 3 years at a Catholic school in California, then moved to New York City to work with the Capuchin friars in some of the city's poorest neighborhoods. It took time to convince a bishop to allow him into seminary. While in seminary, he started having weakness in his legs. The strength was leaving his once powerful body. He was diagnosed with inclusion body myositis, a rare and incurable autoimmune disease that mimics the symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease. It started to look like his dream of becoming a priest was over. Because of his disease, it was thought it might be better to ordain him as a permanent deacon instead. But he persisted in prayer. Almost 10 years after he first felt the call to ministry, he was ordained a priest at St. Helena Cathedral. By that time, he was using crutches. His condition continued to deteriorate. His first assignment was to Little Flower Parish in Browning, Montana. He lasted 6 months. After two falls, he was sent to Anaconda, where his physical challenges could be better accommodated. He served at Anaconda for a short time, not quite 2 years, but left an indelible mark on the community. He was brought home to Helena, where he took up a new life in ministry at Big Sky Care Center, this time from the seat of his power wheelchair. People flocked to see him. The line of visitors often stretched around the building. He died at the age of 50 at Big Sky Care Center, where he had lived for the last 4 years of his life. He had served as a priest for 7 years. A movie about his life was released this year at Easter time. Have you seen it? Does this sound at all familiar to you? Netflix, yes. Those of you with Netflix may have seen this. It's called Father Stu. The movie is often hard to watch. It depicts the violence of his life. The boxing, the bar fights, the horrific accident. It is salted liberally with profanity, making it unsuitable for children or for those of tender sensibilities. When asked why it was necessary to make a movie with such coarse language, the producer explained that he wanted to show the change that had occurred after Stu's conversion. One of Father Stu's friends mentioned that Stu worked really hard to clean up his own language, and he challenged other people, especially guys, to clean up their language. He had many unusual penances he would give them to help them in their use of language. I wish he'd explained what some of those were. Another friend said in a Facebook post that Father Stu actually had a swear jar in his nursing home room for his visitors to contribute when they swore, as he did not swear after his conversion. The movie shows a marked reduction in swearing following Stu's conversion experience at his baptism, though not his secession. The movie also dramatizes various events of Father Stu's life, the difficulties in being accepted into seminary, the struggles with his incurable illness and their effect on his sense of call, the decision to ordain him as a priest. How much is true and how much is Hollywood? I don't know. But I was especially affected by one scene where Stu prays in anguish, asking God, why? Why, when he hears this call, is God placing this barrier of illness in his way? Why? Why, when he is trying so hard to be good, does he feel punished? He recalls Christ's words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He throws down his crutches, falls to the floor, and begins to crawl to a side altar in the church, his own pilgrimage of faith. What we see in the movie is Stu's persistence, his determination to make something of his life, then to give up that life in service to God, then to use his suffering to draw closer to Christ and to encourage others to do the same. After I watched the movie for the first time, I've now seen it twice, I looked up Father Stu's obituary. He died in 2014. Some of the memories were written by people who knew him well, some added this year by people who'd not heard about him until after seeing the movie. Let me read some of them. Father Stu's faith and courage inspired us. The embodiment of hope in the face of despair, Father Stu knew suffering. He knew Jesus on the cross. Father Stu encouraged my faith and challenged me to grow into a deeper relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit moved through him. He taught me how to turn stumbling blocks in my life into stepping stones. He always humbled me by his great humility. No matter how bad Father Stu felt, he always made you feel better. He understood life at all angles because he'd been there. Father Stu, when you look down from heaven and see me acting stupid, give me a good slap alongside the head. I know I will need it. He touched the lives of so many people, bringing hope to those who were hopeless, bringing peace to those who were troubled, faith to those who were lost, livelihood to those who were stuck, and friendship, companionship, and trust to every person he met. I had the distinct honor and privilege of caring for Father Stu at BCC shortly after he began living there. His joy, faith, humbleness, and genuine love for me and the other workers in residence left a mark on my heart for eternity. I can honestly say I encountered more of the love of Christ in him than anyone I've known since. We need this more than ever in this world today. I woke today feeling so grateful for my life and the beautiful people God has surrounded me with. I will work harder each day to do Christ's work in some small way. May we never forget that we are loved, and may we also strive to do what Jesus would do in our everyday lives. Those are just a few of the tributes to him on his obituary. His obituary states, "He brought a servant's heart to each and every minute of his ministry, his love increasing in power as physical strength declined." When he could no longer count on his physical strength, he could count on his strong faith. His obituary also states, "He taught by example, willingly accepting the pain and weakness each day brought." Stu said it was the best thing that ever happened to him because it allowed him to shed the pride he had felt for most of his life. Father Stu will be missed, but his legacy of love and selflessness lives on in the hearts and minds of all he served. What we see in the life of Father Stu, his actual life and the Hollywood version, is that God can use anyone for God's purposes. Fighters, troublemakers, alcoholics, criminals. In the movie, he is depicted as a loser, a pugilist with a criminal record and a short temper who seems unable to stay out of trouble, unable to speak without using profane and offensive language, unable to live without numbing his pain with alcohol. He is a man who has no use for God and is sure God has no use for him. He pursues religion because he hopes it will get him the girl he loves, not because of any desire for God. His story shows how God can use each of us in spite of or because of our weaknesses and brokenness. Stu was given the gift of tenacity, persisting in prayer, wrestling with everything that stood in his way to answer the call God placed in his heart on the day of his baptism. In that regard, he is like Jacob in our first reading, who wrestled in the night with an angelic being and refused to let go until he received a blessing. Jacob received more than he requested: a disjointed hip that left him with a permanent limp, a new name that gave him a new identity and new courage. Stu wrestled and received a blessing and pain and a new identity and courage. When we persist in prayer, we are the ones who are changed. Our fears, our discouragements, our woundedness, our brokenness are transformed. Stuart Long wanted to marry the girl he loved. That desire led him to a deeper love, the love of God expressed in the call to serve in ministry. That call led to a still deeper love, as the suffering he endured caused him to draw closer to Christ on the cross. The love he had for God spilled out into people and places he could never have imagined. He wanted to become a movie star. And now a movie made 8 years after his death is encouraging others to draw closer to God. God wants us to be persistent. God wants us to show up day after day in prayer, wrestling with difficult issues, refusing to give up, refusing to lose heart. God wants us to pray about our fears, our hopes, our desires. As we do so, may we experience what Stu did when he realized that persistent prayer can increase faith. Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith that trusts, faith that wrestles, faith that fights, faith that refuses to be discouraged? Will he find such faith in us?" Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." remember once again. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. And in faith and trust, let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. For all the baptized, that they become skilled in compassion and grace and equipped to share the good news with all. Grant your followers persistence in proclamation and prayer. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For air and sky, clouds and sun, that they provide rain to parched land and relief to flooded ground. Renew and restore our polluted atmosphere and empower us to be worthy stewards of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For judges, juries, and all who work in the judicial system, that they desire wisdom, seek truth, rule with fairness, and have the courage to do what is right. Eliminate oppression and injustice in our criminal justice system. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all who are lonely, especially those who have newly arrived in an unfamiliar city or country, political prisoners without recourse to justice, hospital patients without visitors, and any who are ill or grief-stricken, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those in our congregation and community engaged in advocacy work, that with the persistence of the widow, they lift their voices in seeking justice on behalf of others, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those who have taught us faith and now rest in your heavenly peace, that we remember and give thanks for these saints who shared the gospel through word and deed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all of the sick of our congregation, for our friends and loved ones, especially those on the prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory give thanks. It is in the book that we refer to as Bob, number 65.
Thank you.
such a way that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
nourishment grants you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in our ascending song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, number 773.
Thanks be to God.